Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This right here is Tech News Today for Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And also by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit Slingbox.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
And I'm Jason Howell.
This show is on like Donkey Kong.
Wait.
This
show is now much more expensive.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, more on what Nintendo's doing about that later. But first of all, very quickly, the FCC has apparently been examining Google's Wi-Fi data slurping.
Ugh.
And they didn't tell anybody about it. So the Wall Street Journal reported this today, and now the FCC says, no, we're just looking at some stuff. It's not really, we're not going to make it clear what exactly we were looking at or what we're going to do with that information once we're done. The FTC, if you don't remember, recently ended a separate inquiry into the matter. So
day late and a dollar short, just give them the Canada treatment. A stern talking to, big mistake. Can we just move on?
That's essentially what the FTC did. But then the FCC was like, ha, we were looking at this too.
We want in.
We didn't want to tell anybody because I don't know.
For some reason.
Yeah. Hulu's CEO says revenue to more than double this year. So if you were mad at Hulu or if you were hoping they were going to cut their price from $10 a month to $5 a month because they're not making enough money, looks like they're making enough money.
Yeah, they posted revenues of about $108 million last year, and they're poised to grow that by 125% by next year. And they're even supposedly talking about an IPO, thinking about raising $200 or $300 million to build out infrastructure. And this was Jason Kilar, their CEO, talking at the GigaOM conference. And what I find fascinating is that just as he was about to take the stage, a fire alarm went off and everybody had to vacate the building. And I think this is sort of a great metaphor because this should be a fire alarm for traditional media. Netflix, Hulu, they know that they're creeping up, but now that they see the real profit, the real dollars, this is not theoretical. This is not a hypothetical scenario. And also, obviously, cable companies who refuse to listen to the a la carte requests, this is a real salvo saying we're making real dollars.
It's an interesting situation. Hulu is the number two video site next to YouTube, which Hulu was started to crush. NBC and Fox started Hulu because they were going to crush that YouTube that was built on piracy and nobody wants to watch cat videos, even play them off keyboard cat, huh? Thinking different about that now, aren't you, NBC? but then they got ABC to join in and now they're struggling against themselves because I think they realize YouTube was never the competition. As much as YouTube would like to be the competition and get television shows, they aren't. And so Hulu is their own competition. They're very successful. People want to use them more. But the networks have been in this sort of, yeah, well, five episodes. Actually, no, we're going to delay the episodes for a month. Well, if you pay $10 a month, we'll give you all the episodes, but you're not going to take away the commercials. And we just don't really know. The Hulu guys tend to know. They're like, we know what to do. Just let us do it. But the networks are not quite yet. Hold on. Got ad money over here. Don't want to lose it.
That's what this all boils down to, is that in the network's mind, the money that Hulu has been bringing in is pissant. It's just not impressive to them when they look at ad revenue models that they have through traditional channels. But the reality is that these traditional media networks are freaking out about the ad dollars that are running off the networks like rats off a sinking ship. They've got to do something.
The money that they would lose by doing Hulu right is also pissant. That's what gets me. They're like, it's not big enough to bother with. But, if we put a sixth episode rerun on there, it will kill our business model. No, it won't. No. Do it right.
I feel like, you know, this is almost like the ebook strategy that we were talking about yesterday, where it's sort of like Amazon gets it. You just have to free the content in a way and make it accessible for money, But let it flow. Let it go. People will find it the way that they want it. And the networks have to embrace that to some extent, unless they want to get left behind.
All right. Put your shoes on, hippie. Letting it flow.
Letting it flow,
dude. Just free the content, man.
Let it be. Let it be.
BlackBerry Tablet is out early 2011, says Research in Motion, and it's going to cost less than $500, according to Rimco CEO Jim Balsillie. That's what he told Bloomberg late yesterday. So BlackBerry Playbook will be in price competition directly with the iPad.
Yeah, that's the Wi-Fi only version, we should just note, just so you know. And I think that this news is good news for RIM. And if the market is any indication, I'm not usually a fan of, you know, saying, okay, how did news affect the pricing? But I thought this was really telling in that, okay, so RIM has lost about 19% on their stock price this year. And today it came up almost 7% on news of the Playbook being announced and the pricing.
Now, the biggest difference, the Playbook's 7 inches. It's just, it's one of those smaller things like the Galaxy Tab that came out today here in the U.S. And it's meant for the enterprise. They're going after a different market than Apple. Apple's making inroads in the enterprise, but they're mainly after the consumer with this. So I think RIM is doing it right. It's priced exactly right. Your Wi-Fi only version should be about the same, if not less. And that's what he's saying. It's going to be less than $500.
And I think in a sidebar on this RIM story, so Bloomberg did this extensive interview with Jim Balsillie, who's their co-CEO, and they were noting that the BlackBerry Torch, which is their flagship touchscreen plus tactile keyboard BlackBerry right now, has just been cut in AT&T stores from $199 to $99. They torched the price of the Torch, which, as you look at this with the 10,000-foot view, that thing's not flying off the shelves selling. You don't see Apple cutting the price of their devices.
And all the stories you see are Android taking more share from RIM. Apple now fourth largest maker of phones, not even just smartphones. RIM is not as bad off as Nokia in the trends, but
they had to do something, and that's why this tablet is good news. But I just had to read this quote from Jim Balsillie because it cracked me up. When asked about this price cut of, you know, losing 50% of the profit, Balsillie says, "This is hugely good for the sales of the device. This is a dream come true. New pricing, new promo, right into the holiday season. What can I say? I couldn't be happier."
Wow, I'm a little dizzy from the spin.
I would say scrambling, desperate.
Yeah.
It's just pretty ugly.
That's almost disingenuous. It almost makes you worry more about RIM. It's like, really? You're spinning that hard about a $50 torch?
Dude, you said this in
an
interview.
Must be bad.
What are you smoking?
What is Consumer Reports smoking?
A lot of Apple love.
Yeah. MacBook Air is now the top-rated Consumer Reports laptop. It got a 67 out of 100 in the 11-inch category for the MacBook Air. That puts it well in front of the Toshiba Satellite, which scored a 51. The 13-inch model scored 78 points out of 100, just 2 points better than the Toshiba Portage. And they found the Air's performance, displays, and ergonomics to be the standout features. So Consumer Reports doesn't care one way or another about Apple. They did not hesitate to say, we will not recommend the iPhone 4 until the antenna is fixed, and they haven't. But they're also willing to say, you know what, the MacBook Air, it's great. It's a good laptop. You should buy it.
And while I completely agree it is a good laptop, you should buy it if you have the money, is the caveat. And so I wanted to go back and look at this in terms of bang for your buck. So MacBook Air 11-inch, they give it 67 points. It's $1,000. Now, another Toshiba Satellite, the 13-inch, they gave that 64 points. It costs $500. Half the cost with only a 3-point diminish.
Yeah, this is when money is no object ratings. You're right.
And then you look at the netbook, the Asus EPC, it's a netbook. They give that 63 points, and it just costs $380. So remember, these are like, oh, if money is no object, then yeah, it rocks. But I still think that it goes into that class, even though they're calling it the mini PC class. This is, it's tough. That's a big price point still.
Yeah, the 13-inch Air is $520 more than the Portage, which was right behind it. I mean, granted, far behind it, but number two, so.
Yeah, and Consumer Reports also came out today with phone listings and their phone ratings, and Android killed. For every carrier, an Android phone was first. For Verizon, it was the Droid X. For T-Mobile, it was the Samsung Vibrant. Sprint, it was the HTC Evo, and for AT&T, it was the Samsung, what is this, the Galaxy? Captivate, sorry.
The Captivate.
Samsung Captivate.
Fascinate, Captivate.
And, yeah, whatever. They didn't have, the iPhone 3GS was number two on their list, and as you mentioned, the iPhone 4.
No iPhone 4s.
Can't recommend it.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Ford, makers of Ford and voice-activated sync. Problem for a lot of folks these days while you're driving is that you want to do something else than drive. I don't blame you, but it's dangerous to do something else other than drive. So if you'd like to make a phone call on your mobile phone, if you'd like to play music or podcasts or audiobooks, if you'd like to spend time poking around into your playlist and picking what you want to listen to, don't do it unless you have a Ford with voice-activated sync, because it's going to take your eyes off the road otherwise. However, if you do have sync, you can leave your eyes on the road and do that all with your voice. True hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. They give you personalized traffic routes. Sync knows your route, sends you traffic alerts, say, hey, you know what, there's construction up ahead, but if you take this exit now, you'll be able to go right around it, and they'll give you the turn-by-turn directions to get around it. Audible text messages sent to you. They can read your text messages. They can take your text messages. To learn more about Sync, go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com. It's standard on some Ford Lincoln Mercury models and optional on others. And it works with your most Bluetooth-enabled phones. You get right in the car, hooks up, starts playing your music, making your calls all by your voice. Voice-activated Sync from Ford. We thank them for their support. Google is in a little spat with Facebook, you may have heard.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
yes. So Google, to catch you up last week on Google versus Facebook, Google had changed their terms of service so that Facebook could no longer import contacts from Gmail directly. Facebook responded by putting a link on the page that allows you to import contacts that took you to Gmail where you could export your contacts and then it would make it easy for you to load those from your desktop. Seemed like kind of a dumb thing for Google to make Facebook go through. Well, now Google has auto-detected when you're coming from that link at Facebook and gives you a Trap My Contacts Now page.
Hold on a second, it reads. Are you super sure? Are you super sure you want to import your contact information for your friends into a service that won't let you get it out? And then they give you the not so fine print. They talk you through all the points that we think it's important for users to know. And although we strongly disagree with this data protectionism, Google says, the choice is yours. Because after all, you should have control over your data.
And then they give you a checkbox that allows you to register a complaint. Like, this is super snarky. This isn't a typical, like, warning, some services, we're not saying who. Like, they're pretty much going, like, those people right there.
Calling it out without actually saying Facebook.
They're anywhere. A trap. Now, everybody's starting to get in on the analysis on this and pointing out that Orkut used to do exactly the same thing. It's the social network run by Google. Google did change that behavior, but it's not like Google is innocent of ever having done this themselves. And there are some really good arguments on both sides of why Facebook handles the contacts the way it does. Why Facebook doesn't allow you to export its contacts, which is what Google wants it to do. I thought Tom Krazit summed it up really well over at CNET. He says, Facebook wants to dictate how your data can be used because it wants advertisers to overpay for access to that data. So that's why they don't want you to export it easily. They want to sell that data. Google wants that data to be more open, because there's no one better in the world at finding, indexing, and presenting open data than Google. And if a significant source of information is unavailable to Google, it becomes less important.
For the consumer, isn't this just a no-brainer?
This is a fight over you, not a fight about you. Mm-hmm. It is not about your rights. It's about who gets to control your data. Is it Google or is it Facebook?
Then how do you, I mean, the way that I read it as a consumer advocate is that while it is in Google's best interest to let the information be free, it's also in the consumer's best interest.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I can go right now and write a script that'll scrape all the contact information for my Facebook friends, and I can get that information. So saying that we are protecting that information so that if I don't want Jason to have my information anymore, unfriend him, and then he won't. He's going to have it. Right. It's going to be cached somewhere because he's such a jerk. He's going to have saved it. I'm sorry to pick on you, Jason.
Thanks.
No, he deserves it.
That's okay.
I'm not unfriending.
Pile it on.
I'm not unfriending Jason. But you know what I mean, right? It's kind of a false sense of security that they're selling you. Whereas Google's recognizing, like, hey, this contact information is yours. You friended them. They gave it to you. It's up to people on Facebook to decide whether they want to friend someone or not. That's just part of the transaction, and you should know what it means, and that data should be exportable. I'm kind of on Google's side a little bit on this, although I don't think their motives are pure.
Ed Wisdom in the chat room says, I trust Google more than Facebook. And Jeannie says, puts her data under the mattress.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, Jeannie, I'm right there under the mattress with you. Well, I'm not trying to get your data. I'm under my own mattress.
Oh, really? What do you do there?
I am trying to protect my data. But I just don't put data on Facebook that I think will get leaked out. Because I don't trust Facebook at all. Same for Google.
As soon as you friend someone from work on Facebook, it's all over anyways. Like, who else do you not want to see your data? That's my theory. So I made that call a long time ago. I'm with you.
Do you make texts as well as calls? Or just...
Do I text to the people? I use the text.
How often do you text?
Oh, 10 or 20,000 times a month.
10 or 20,000 times a month.
I don't know. I think I do
You'd be a hyper-texter.
I would. I only do about 200 texts a month.
And a new study presented at the American Public Health Association's annual meeting from a group of researchers at Case Western Reserve surveyed students on texting. Now, I've seen this presented in two different ways. So let me try to present it just factually here. If you are a hyper-texter... And what's the definition of a hypertexter?
Let's see.
If you are a hypertexter, they found that you were more likely to be having sex with multiple partners, spending more than 3 hours a day on your preferred social network, and more likely to consume alcohol or take drugs.
Hypertexting is sending more than 120 messages a day.
Okay. Nice.
So I've seen this said... Hypertexters are at risk because they have more sex as teens, right? These are teen texters. They have more sex. They take drugs. They drink alcohol. They're at more risk. And then I've also seen other stories. Hypertexters have a life because they go out and they party. And that's what teenagers do. So
this is hard to know if it's which came first, the chicken or the egg. Is your kid's social, ergo they're doing all those things first, and texting is a
This may
a
not
symptom?
Be even chicken and egg. This may be... green peppers and egg. You often see them together in an omelet, but one doesn't cause the other.
Corollary.
Yeah.
I see. I took stats, man. Come on. The thing that was fast... Well, so, a couple things. I've done this story about 1,000 times for ABC. And, you know, you go to the family's house and you meet the kid who sends 10,000 texts a month, and dad and mom are horrified. But the behavior at that level, so that's more than these hypertexters, but, you know, it's in the range. It's antisocial behavior. So actually, I find that if you look just by the nature of spending that much time on a screen, whether it's small or big, it's antisocial behavior when it comes to face-to-face interactions. And that's just my experience being around these kids as they do their day-to-day thing. And these are the super hypertexters, don't get me wrong. The other stats that were unbelievable is that they found that a lot of them were minority students, females, and they come from lower socioeconomic status.
The hypertexters.
Yeah. And then the stat that totally blew me out of the water, 22.5% of the teens they interviewed text not at all.
Not one?
Not one text.
What is wrong with these children?
They're nerds. I love them.
No, they wouldn't be. Well, if they were nerds, they'd be using their smartphones and texting.
No, they're like real nerds. I didn't say geeks. I said nerds. Distinction.
Nerds text.
Nerds, if they are also geeks. This is the Venn diagram.
I think it is
geeks
an outrage to our economy. Our carriers cannot overcharge you for text if you're not sending texts.
What teenager doesn't text?
22.5%.
That's unbelievable. And
what's great about this is it just points out, like, you can't just say everybody does this.
Mm.
And, you know, because granted, if we hadn't mentioned the stats, we would have gotten at least one, if not several, emails. We're already getting somebody in the chat room. I haven't texted in weeks. Yes, we know. Not everybody does everything.
Yeah, but Punter Joe says in the chat room, anti-texters or just Amish? Like, right. Who
maybe,
doesn't?
You know, maybe they just
it was
don't even
Case
have
Western
phones.
Reserve. We should point
That's
out.
Why.
They are nearer to Amish country than we are. All right. The Samsung Galaxy Tab out today on the T-Mobile carrier, and then by the end of the week, it'll be out on everybody. But they're also showing off a new 7-inch next-gen Tab at FPD 2010, and it seems to have a very high resolution. It may be an AMOLED screen. Samsung says it is a WSVGA resolution, 1024 by 600, and it's really pretty. They also showed a 10-inch screen that they said was an e-reader, but it could make phone calls.
Okay, this is just cruel. Why would you reveal the next iteration, which is shiny, shiny, when the first iteration is only just hitting the market?
Yeah, this is bad timing. This is one arm of the country, one arm of the company in Korea, not realizing how this was going to play out in the United States.
By the way, in my dealings with Samsung, I love their U.S. folks, but there are often times when they have no idea what is going on with the Korea folks who are completely going on off the reservation.
So, yeah, the nice 10-inch mobile display from Samsung. Looking pretty attractive.
Now, on the domestic front, with the launch of the Tab here, not going so well.
Getting some rocky reviews.
Gizmodo absolutely trashed it. And I love a well-written review, better than, you know, a well-written classic, quite honestly.
Yeah?
This one is up there. I just am going to read
some. Are you going to curl up tonight? As you go to sleep and read this?
I'm actually going to reread this, yeah. Especially as someone who appreciates good writing but can't write to save my life. I'm just going to quote some of the things that Matt Buchanan from Gizmodo wrote. The Tab feels like a grab bag of neglect, good intentions, and poor execution. There is no way to not feel like a total dork face while typing on this thing. In portrait, it's like tapping on a massive nerdy phone. In landscape, it's just dumb. He does have some nice things to say. He says the screen is pretty killer. The viewing angles are vast, like the BP oil spill. I love this review. I mean, but he slammed it.
Wow. Some poetry there.
Some poetic harshness.
On the other side, Microsoft's Windows Phone, we mentioned yesterday, sold 40,000. At least that's the estimate. And I read a few people cracking the numbers on this in comparison. The Droid sold 100,000 its first weekend, so 2 days of sales, maybe three if you count Friday night. I think you do. 40,000 is right on pace with that.
Yeah, but the iPhone took 600,000 in pre-orders. The iPhone 4.
The iPhone 4 is there's no comparison.
That's the bar.
Well, they did it entirely differently, right? With the Windows Phone 7, they said, "Here you go." Many options. Go to whatever carrier you want. All the numbers are not out yet.
But here's the deal. So when I talked to Microsoft yesterday, they said, oh, don't worry about it. AT&T and T-Mobile will release the numbers. That's coming right out. Then I called T-Mobile. They had like a very ambiguous statement about it. It's a great phone with a big screen. No numbers. Radio silence. That is not a good sign. Nothing coming out today from either of the carriers.
It could mean that they just haven't figured out how to spin them yet, because they know that these single day numbers are not going to be easily comparable to an iPhone. And that's what everybody's going to do. They're going to go compare it to iPhone 4.
And that is hard. And my gut instinct is that this phone is going to gain traction. And I think it has enough merits and enough unique user interface elements that do play well. It's not the Kin. It's not the iPhone. It's not Android. It's something different.
It's a phone that works well.
Yeah.
In fact, Microsoft said they're going to provide the updates for it too. So unlike Android, where you may or may not get the latest version of Android on your phone, depending on whether your carrier has decided whether you should get it or not, Microsoft says when there's a new update, we'll push it out to everybody. We're in charge of that.
Ed Bott broke this story. He's ZDNet, right? He said it was from a user comment in one of his posts that made a really great point. He said, I ask about this update issue because I don't trust AT&T to do it. In nearly 4 years, AT&T never once pushed a firmware update to my Sony Ericsson phone. And he makes the point that it's not in their best interest. The only thing that can happen that's an upside for AT&T is there's no upside. The only thing that happens is there's
customer satisfaction, maybe.
Yeah, but they are assuming that the customer doesn't know what they're not getting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair
enough.
And
what can go wrong in terms of if the upgrade goes badly or if there are bugs, then it's a huge customer service nightmare.
And yes and no, that may be true or not for iOS, but Apple pushes it out to everybody at the same time, and the world hasn't ended for them.
Is that what, every third day? I get confused about that.
Yeah, but I think the big difference between Apple, well, I mean, there's probably plenty of differences, but between Apple and Microsoft versus Android is Android has all of these different front ends, right? I mean, on Windows Phone 7, correct me if I'm wrong, there is no customization of the actual experience, right? It's Windows Phone 7 experience.
Yep.
Right.
So there are no variations beyond
flavors.
What it is. I mean, if that happened in Android,
you customize
who knows
it yourself.
How it breaks, yeah, if you do that.
Exactly. And that may be the final determinant that Windows 7 benefited from in being late to the game, is that they see the fractured landscape that is the Android operating system, and they were able to say, it's important for us to lock our system down and our UI and our OS down.
We're going
to
follow Apple's lead on this and not offer you cut and paste. All right, let's take a moment to thank our other sponsor, Slingbox, that lets you watch your TV at home. In fact, they just announced that their app for Windows Phone 7 is out.
Nice.
So if you get a Windows Phone 7, you can use Slingbox with it. What you do is you buy your Slingbox device. You go to a Best Buy or purchase it online. Take it home, plug it into your TV, plug it into your internet, and then you can watch your TV anywhere else you have the Slingbox software. That could be your desktop. It could be your laptop. It could be your tablet. It could be your Windows Phone 7 now, your RIM BlackBerry, your iPhone, your iPod Touch. You go to a Best Buy, you buy it, you bring it home, and then you have liberated your television. You want to watch television out in the garage? Just take the laptop out. Don't take the desktop out. No, it's dirty in the garage.
It'd be very heavy.
But you can take the laptop out and watch television in your garage, or put a tablet out there, something like that. Any of the same shows you watch on your TV, your sports, your news, your movies, there's no restrictions. Whatever comes onto your TV goes over the internet back to you and only you on your software that you've installed. Check it out at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit.
And you know, as we were talking about Hulu earlier in the show, it made me think about Slingbox. You buy once, no subscription fees.
Right.
You own the hardware, and then you control where it goes, when it goes, no monthly fees.
Exactly. Slingbox.com/twit. Check
Thank
it out.
Thank you, Slingbox.
On to the news fuse.
The news fuse.
Google has given all of its employees a $1,000 cash holiday bonus and 2011 salary increases of at least 10% on top of that bonus. The raise will take effect on January 1st. Google will also give each employee an additional raise equivalent to the employee's target bonus, and employees will still be eligible for merit increases. So they're just going to be rolling in cash over there,
nice.
Colleen. Mm-hmm. In another nice gesture, Google will pay the taxes on the $1,000 holiday cash bonuses. None of this applies to the person who leaked the email about all this, though, because they've been fired.
Oops. We mentioned NUI Group, or Nui Group. Nui means huge in Hawaiian, so maybe that's what they are. They're huge. They're working on a way to plug the Kinect into other devices besides the Xbox 360. And they plan to open source this, but in the meantime, hacker Hector Martin has released code of his own. His code pulls data from the IR and the RGB cameras and displays it. Now, while Nui's code will provide a lot more functionality, it's still just proof of concept, and it makes for a very trippy visualization, dude.
Yeah, check it out if you like playing around with code. But if you don't like playing around with code, don't. You want Android 2.2, a.k.a. Froyo, running on your iPhone 3G? Well, if you've jailbroken it, it's now incredibly easy. Don't try it on your iPhone 4 quite yet, but you can install and run Bootlace 2.1 from Cydia, fire up iDroid. And if you need a little more instruction, because that's all there is to it, go to redmondpie.com. But you can actually more easily put Froyo on an iPhone 3G than on an actual Android phone.
That is bizarre. You can't stop people doing what they want with their hardware.
Can't stop the signal.
You can't stop them. T-Mobile's HTC G2 Android phones have a security feature that wipes out any OS you try to install.
Ooh.
But the fine folks over at Motico have smashed the G2's read-only boot mechanism. A one-click root app called Visionary is available from Motico.com. It was strangely suspended from the Android marketplace for some reason. We can't figure that one out.
Want to know the best way to launch a new video game? File for a trademark. Nintendo has requested a trademark for the phrase, "It's on like Donkey Kong."
No!
From the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Nintendo said its trademark application is in honor of the upcoming launch of Donkey Kong Country Returns on November 21st. You want to trademark that phrase, Nintendo? Fine. It's on like Don Ho songs or something.
Tom Merritt. I'm
Donkey
ashamed
Yodi.
Of you. Retailers and manufacturers are slashing flat screen television prices more aggressively than usual this holiday season. And we told you about this a few weeks ago when the predictions for Black Friday came out. But the hope is these companies want to avoid a pileup of inventory. Walmart, Best Buy, Amazon.com are touting deals ahead of Black Friday to clear out older and cheaper sets before the anticipated flood of deep price cuts in coming weeks. We're thinking 32-inch LCDs for like $200 and 55-inchers under $749.
Oh, where did we hear about this going to be happening first?
Oh, TNT.
Becky Worley.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Amazon has received a patent for a bad gift defense system that will shoot down bad gifts with a laser. No, actually, it just intercepts gifts you don't want that are purchased on Amazon and sends you something you do want. For example, the feature would allow you to set up a rule that says, convert all gifts from Scott Harriet, which would automatically convert any online gift order from your well-meaning but tasteless friend into a gift certificate. It could also pull it from your wish list instead.
Does he send you all that Sasquatch paraphernalia too?
I'm telling you, I got too much of that.
Ugh,
too much hair.
Guy. If I asked you which app on Facebook was most popular, your first guess would be right.
Guys? Farmville?
Yep.
Okay.
But according to a metrics firm called App Data, the number two app is a shocker. Windows Live Messenger.
Huh?
9 million users daily. Who'd have thunk? Why wouldn't you just chat using Facebook?
Yeah, I know.
Weird.
Weird. But I guess if other people aren't on the Facebook, then you want to chat with them that way.
Yeah.
Finally, a computer virus has led to a $20 million scam against a very successful pianist.
What?
A composer of music.
Oh.
With a piano.
A noted classical pianist, composer, and Latin music producer.
What?
The fraudsters were a computer repairman and his Icelandic girlfriend.
Of course.
In suburban New York City. Guy brought his laptop in, said he thought he had a virus. They said, oh, yeah, you got a virus here. They figured out who he was and how much money he was worth.
By looking at the data on his
and
computer?
And said, you know, looks like this malware is controlled by a devious group in Honduras. But I got some family with some connections. We can take care of this for you if you pay us, like, you know, a couple mil a month.
Wow, that's so great that the computer repairman was able to defend him.
And we found out the group in Honduras is being operated by a group of Polish priests of Opus Dei who are going to try to topple the U.S. government.
Whoa, I would not mess with a Polish priest. I had one for 10 years.
So did the pianist turn them in? No. They were the feds were investing this couple for a different thing. And discovered this scam going on and broke it up. It looks like they may actually be able to get the guy most of his $20 million back.
Why do people have to hate on the pianist?
Yeah. Don't hate the classically trained piano composers.
Music players of the piano.
Exactly.
Can you tell why we chose this story?
Well, if we had let some other podcast run with this story, we would have had pianist envy.
Tom!
Let's go on to the calendar, shall we?
I just have to regroup here for a moment.
Recompose.
Recompose. We talked about the Samsung Galaxy Tab. It is now available on the T-Mobile for $399. It's coming to Verizon on 11/11 and Sprint Sunday 11/14. If that Gizmodo review didn't turn you off completely. So just FYI, we're telling you.
Yep.
iOS 4.2 coming Friday. I told you, they update this thing every third day with iTunes and Mac OS 10 updates. No AirPrint? What do you think, Tom?
I have downloaded 10.6.5. I have it installed on this laptop right here, and there is no AirPrint that I can find.
Uh-huh. So another update there is Mac OS 10.6.5 is available now.
Yeah. Apparently, Apple has said the AirPrint will come to the iPod Touch and the iPhone, and it will work with HP printers and other printers made specifically for AirPrint.
The iPod Touch or the iPad?
iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch.
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. And does that like that? So you could do that now because all of those HP printers that are have that email enabling, they have their own email address.
Well, yeah, you could do it with the email, right? But this means you don't have to do it that way. You could just connect directly to them with AirPrint.
You could
but
also.
The printer has to have AirPrint installed.
You could also just lay iPad down on the glass.
You could do that with the iPad. That is true.
Yeah. That's always
good
a winner.
Point.
That works really well.
It actually doesn't work that bad.
Motorola Citrus hitting Verizon. Is it dropping, Tom? It's dropping Verizon.
Citrus drops November 11th, kids.
$50. It's a sweet deal.
$50 Android phone.
Nice. And then we continue our plea and desperate call for help to help pick the best moments of TWIT and TNT. Go to our website,
twit.tv/best of. Thank you. Don't email it to us.
No.
Somebody emailed us one, and I'm like, okay, fine. Now we have to move it over into the
Tom,
thing.
Tom, you can handle it. You can handle it.
Just go to twit.tv/best of. Terpster. Anything with Terpster.
He's good.
Yeah.
I think that we had a couple in the first day. I like the Scott Johnson a lot.
I think today.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
You just want to talk about the pianist again.
Ah, it was one of our best moments. Mm-hmm. On to the voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We got a call from someone who has a theory of why some HD TV owners might not opt for HD content.
Hey, Tom and Becky. Jose here from Florida. Just calling in reference to the Nielsen TV ratings, saying that people that still have the big HD televisions still watch standard definition. Well, my dad's 70 years old, and I tried to show him the difference between standard and high def, and he said he can't tell the difference, but I can clearly tell the difference. So on a 50-inch TV screen, he'd rather watch standard definition. All right, take care, guys. Bye.
Yeah, so at a certain age, I guess retina display becomes 8-bit. And it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, macular degeneration in HDTV.
Yeah, a lot of diminishing returns.
I can't see the difference. I don't care about the difference.
Yeah. You know, I can honestly say, I don't know how you guys feel, but for me, it's all about football. Because when I watch football in HD, it's like a life-changing experience because I can see the conditions on the field. Mm-hmm. I have a better immersive experience. I don't notice it with much else.
The big one for me was a hockey. When I watched hockey on HD for the first time, I was like transfixed. Or Avatar looks really good in HD. It's just, you don't have to have the sound up.
No,
just
it's amazing.
Just sit there and go, wow, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree, and I think, you know, a lot of the iterations that are coming now for HD are barely discernible for the average consumer. And so issues around, you know, is it 120 or 240 hertz?
I can tell standard def from HD. But what you're talking about, that is a video file. And there are people in our audience who can and must have the best. They can tell the difference and they must have the best.
I say they can't tell the difference.
They can. I believe they can.
I don't believe.
I have tin eyes.
I would like to hear from the audience what they visually discern as the difference between 120 hertz and the 240 hertz set. I would like to know.
They're aliens with special eyes.
I want to hear.
They see
about
something that you don't see. It's a special, it's a gift.
That's why I need, as a reporter on these issues, I need the data. Send it in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, on to the emails, tnt@twit.tv. Nick in Gladstone, Queensland, Australia. Australia says, hi, Tom and the TNT crew. In episode 114, my fellow Aussie, Hosko, reported that there were major lag and FPS issues with Call of Duty Black Ops on the PC. All Black Ops is what they call it in New Zealand. He says, well, it looks like these issues are isolated to the PC version. It has been found that Black Ops is a big resource hog on the PC, and that seems to be the cause of the problem. I have the 360 version of Black Ops. Things could not be smoother, and no complaints from my PS3 playing friends either. My guess is that this is just the latest example of game developers neglecting the PC because of PC games' alleged low sales. So thanks for that clarification, Nick. I appreciate the reports from the field on the ongoing Call of Duty Black Ops controversy.
Da-na-na. We have another email, this one from Richard Thompson, who sent us a link to the NHL Game Center streaming that's going to come to Roku and PS3. And Tom, you are psyched about this.
I am a hockey fan, and I like the idea of being able to get all the games. Now, out-of-market games, granted, but I'm a St. Louis Blues fan, so they're almost always out-of-market unless they're shutting out the San Jose Sharks. So I like this. I've got the NHL hockey app on my iPad, and I know it's coming to the Roku, and I've got a PS3, too, so I'm going to add that channel on the Roku. I'm hoping if you subscribe on one, you get it on all. That's the one thing I've got to tease out here.
I would, this is for consumers who have a lot of these devices and have no idea what the capabilities are that are built into them. I mean, it's such an untapped opportunity for people. I wish there was a website where you could input all your gadgets and it would tell you what content you have access to.
Every single thing you can do with what you own. Yeah, totally.
Well, there is Clicker.
I like that.
It doesn't do it by gadget, but it gets you close because you can tell it, like, I have Netflix and Hulu Plus and this and that. So that's the closest I can think of. But I'm telling you, man, the more of the things Roku picks up, the more I am willing to say to anybody who says, how do I cut the cord? Get a Roku box.
Right.
For $99, you get high definition with Wi-Fi. You don't even have to spend the $99 if you just want high def. I think it's, what is it, $79?
Do you think their business model, though, is sustainable in terms of, will they go away because the functionality will be built directly into the sets, will be built, well, they, it's obviously built into the consoles already.
They
but,
may go the way of TiVo
yeah.
in that respect one day. But for now, that is the thing to get. They are getting pretty much everything you want. They don't have the NBA. That went to Google TV. Mm. But they've got the NHL. They've got MLB. They've got Ultimate Fighting. So
oh,
they've
well.
Got three major sports.
And, you know, actually, I think they...
And they have Hulu and Netflix and...
And if you're thinking about buying one, hold off, because as I recall, they usually get an even bigger discount around the holidays, like 10 or 15 bucks
off. You might be able to find
off.
Them on sale or something. Yeah,
yeah, so those coming up are going to definitely drop in prices is my recollection of this.
All right, thanks everybody for watching the show. We'll be back tomorrow once again. Don't forget you can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. Give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW, or send us an electronic mail over your electronic mail client. Perhaps it's Pine. You would want to send it to TNT, use the at symbol, and then twit.tv.
Goodbye.
Yeah, we totally slacked.
Not using that one in the montage, aren't you?
No.